So we're gonna do Bahar. We're Bahar. We're gonna be consistent. We learn Shlishi every week. So we're up to Shlishi. V'nosnam over here in Parshas Bahar. I'm getting a tablet. Soon getting a new device. A new device coming soon. The tablet I'll be able to put on the screen. But until that, it'll take probably another couple of days until I get all set up. But until then, I'm still using this device until we get it all set up. In the meantime, okay, I'm doing from Chumash. Parshas Bahar, the third Aliyah, Shlishi, it's Perek Chofei, Pasuk Yutes. Chofei Yutes, V'nosina ha'oretz piryo, and the earth will produce its fruit, V'achaltem l'soiva, and it will bring forth satisfaction. V'shaftem levetach alech, and you will live in peace upon the land. So it's interesting, the Pasuk over here, this Pasuk, it sounds like what you would think, if you wouldn't know, you would think this Pasuk is from Parashas Bichul Kosai, the next parasha, in the Hakdama to the Toichacha. The Hakdama to the Toichacha, it says come out the same thing. It says there, let's see what it says there, V'nasati, it says there, let's see, V'hisig luchem dayish es botzir, ubotzir yasig ezora, v'achaltem lachemchem lo soiva, v'yishavtem levetach bi'artzachem. Here, it's not exactly the same words, I didn't even realize this. It says here, v'nosrets v'achaltem lo soiva, no, not exact, v'shavtem lo vetach be'artzichem. That's what it says in the Chukai said. Here it says, v'achaltem lo soiva. It doesn't say bread. It just says v'achaltem lo soiva. And when it says v'shavtem lo vetach, it says oleho, upon her. Whereas in Parashas V'chukai say, it says be'artzichem. It has to be that some of the Mepharshim deal with this. Okay, but right now, let's see what it says in Rashi. Rashi says in Pasuk Yutes, he writes, V'nosnaretz, the earth will give its produce, its fruit, and you will dwell in peace, v'shavtem lo vetach. What's vetach? Vetach means security. Shlei tid'agu mishnas batzores. You're not going to worry about a year of famine. Isn't that amazing? In the morning, we're learning about the years of famine. We're learning about famine. Mary even put on the WhatsApp channel. He put out a medrash from a medrash. Where was that? Wherever the medrash was from, Beresh Rabbah. There are 10 famines in Tanakh, and what's very unique is that the last of the 10 is something which it continues to circulate. 9 of them have come and gone. And there's one more famine that's still one more about service. It's like a drought. It still exists, but it makes its way. It's the same thing, but it circulates around the world in different times. But it's not considered to be something unique. The other 9 appear to have been unique in the nature, and they're gone. They're done and they're gone with. There's one more left in the history of the world. And that one, it comes and goes, but it's all really the same thing. That is itself a very interesting and profound idea. All right, but anyway, over here it says, you're not going to be worried about Mishnas Batzoris, you're not going to be worried about years of famine. Why not? How can you guarantee anything? How can a person guarantee that it's not going to be famine? How do you know it's not going to be famine? I don't know. I guess there's some type of amuna. V'achaltem lo soiva, you'll eat the satisfaction up with soicha me'ayim mitehei boi barocha. The food will be blessed inside your stomach. What does that mean exactly? I don't know. Something very strange. What does it mean inside a person's stomach? You would think that once you chew the food, the blessing is only until you chew the food. Once the food gets into your stomach, you know, just hope it shouldn't cause any harm. You don't expect there to be a blessing. Just hope you don't get indigestion. You don't get heartburn. It's not going to conflict with anything else that's in your stomach and cause you harm. No, more than that, while the food has been chewed up and it's in your stomach, in the stomach there's going to be a special siyata d'shmaya. What does the Torah say in this pasuk yutes? V'sitein ara iba. What does the word iba mean? I guess it means it's going to produce fruit. The word iba, I guess, is the Aramaic meaning of the word fruit. Pasuk yutes. V'sechlun l'misba, you will eat in satisfaction. V'tisbun l'ruchtzon Allah, and you will live in ruchtsan. What's ruchtsan? I guess in security. There are a lot of good words over here. New vocabulary words that we have to understand what they mean. So let's see over here. I'm looking over here in my sefer. Over here, what it says over here. No, he just says, Iba ay mashkos al el b'yutes chav gimel. I'm not in the mood of going back to look it up. Things now, rather just go forward. We have on the page over here, so let's go further. Let's now go further. Pasuk chav. V'chi saymru. Ma mechal b'ashana ha-shevi'is. What will you eat in the seventh year? Hein b'holo in Nizra, v'loy ne'esayf es tevu asein. What are you going to eat in the seventh year? Behold, we're not going to seed, and we're not going to gather in this tefuasim. But Shemitah, what are we going to give in the year of Shemitah? And let's see Rashi. Rashi of the Apostle Chav says, V'loy ne'esoyf el abayis. We're not going to gather the bayis. Es tefuasim. We can go in yayin uperes ilon. Wine uperes ilon. Usefichin haboyim me'alehem. And the growth that comes by itself. Okay, so if you can ask this girl, what does the Targum on this pasuk say? Targum on the pasuk says, Pasuk Chav, V'arei Tengdun mo nechol bishato shevi eso holo nizra v'lo nichnosh yos a lal tano our produce. Okay, so Rashi makes a comment. Rashi says to Rosenu is yayin peros ilan usefichin haboim me'alehem. Now what does that comment mean exactly? Rashi obviously is coming to address the Targum. The Targum says a lal tano. What does the word alal tana mean? So I'm going over here, let's see what it is a little bit. I'm going over here on the sefer. Alright, there's a lot of stuff here. Okay, so you don't have, well, you don't have this. So I'm going to read it. Let me read it, because let me read it. Varei temun, ledas rashi, perush ki beloshin hakosuf kan perushoi dilma. Vitochin shazu gam das unkelis, mash le tirgum kain hu, the nature of our cause of Rashi, Shukamosha, Miliki, Miloshin, Hakodesh, Mishameshes, Arbolishanis, Kenemilarain, the Aramis, Mishamesh, Arbolishanis, Mashnim, Santarim, the Zorim, the Benvorim, Miliki, Matugam, Dilma, cause of Rashi, the Shuva, the Shuva, Shanirsha, Talmidim, Shashamu, Miram, Perish, and Mikro, Echniso, Milo, Dilma, Betarakum. This is a shocking thing what it says over here. All right, the point over here is maybe we can make here a machloikis. This is an important pasuk. Pasuk called V'chi Soimru. What does that mean? V'chi Soimru. Rashi over here is silent, but Rashi in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, in the Gemara. Now, you have to be careful, because whenever you quote a Rashi in the Gemara, it's not necessarily relevant to Rashi and Chumash. There's so many different examples of where Rashi and Chumash ignores Gemara's or openly contradicts what it says in the Gemara. And Rashi in the Gemara almost never really quotes from himself and what he said in Chumash. The Rashi in the Gemara and the Rashi in Chumash, even though it was written by the same person, are two passing ships in the night. They have no, they don't really, there's no synchronization between Rashi in Chumash and Rashi in the Gemara. So, over here in this commentator, he's recording over here Rashi in the Gemara. I mean, is it even fair to bring Rashi in the Gemara to enlighten us about what the pasuk here says? All right, whatever it is, and he makes a point, and the point over here is V'chi means Dilma. Now, Dilma means it doesn't have to happen. V'chi soimru. Maybe not. Person over here, it's now going to be Shemitah, and Shemitah is coming, so you're getting worried. What's going to be in the Shemitah year? V'chi. Maybe you may, the thought may come upon your mind. Now, that, if you say it means Dilma, maybe, then it could also mean, maybe yes, maybe not. Maybe you'll be on such a high spiritual level with such incredible, awesome faith in Hashem that it won't even enter your mind. If Hashem says, 6 years you plow and you work the land, and year number seven you let it rest, there's no question. There is no doubt in your mind. You have nothing, it could be, No, can it be? Are there people out there in the world that are such exultantly high spiritual people? Look at Mayor over here. Look, he who would even think to ask such a question? It's not going to even come upon your mind. So that's why it says Dilma. And in fact, the word v'chi can mean maybe, maybe, yeah, maybe not. It's a problem. But that interpretation is a very big one because first of all, Rashi here doesn't say a word. It's Rashi in the Gemara that says this pshat, that it doesn't mean, Rashi in the Gemara says that in Inuchanami there are very holy people that will not even ask this question. The Targum, he's translating every single word, and he chose the word va'arei. Now, there's another word that the Targum uses elsewhere for the word v'chi, and the Targum in the Chumash Devarim, he says another part of the word, it says the word v'chi means dilma. So the word dilma is not a foreign Aramaic word from the Targum, because he actually uses that word for the word, to translate the word v'chi in Chumash Devarim. And if Rashi in Masechta Rosh Hashanah is correct, that v'chi soimru ma noichal b'ashana hashviyas, it doesn't mean it has to happen. It means maybe there might be a generation where the people are such great tzaddikim, they have no doubts in Hashem, and they don't even ask the question. So if that's the case, why then did the Targum omit the word dilma in this pasuk when he translates the word v'chi? The Targum should have said, dilma, you will say, what will we eat on the seventh year? Maybe, because that's how Rashi learns Pshat in the Pasuk. Now Rashi is not here on Chumash, Rashi is in the Gemara. So this right away leads us to suspect that we have here an out of the ballpark home run, that there's a Machloikis, Rashi and Unkelus. Rashi Unkelus says, Unkelus that did not say the word Dilma, but he said the word Arei, it means when. As if to say, it is a guarantee that every human being will one day say, what's going to be? What's going to be? How am I going to survive? How am I going to survive? What do you mean? Didn't you go to Koilel? Didn't your father learn Koilel Chazonish with Emunah Pshut and Hashem? And you're an exalted level of spirituality, and there are no doubts in Hashem's power. Aren't there people out there in the world that are such holy people? The Targum seems to say, no, there are not. There are not. Every single person in this world, on their level, has nisyonos in emun. With no exception, you come to this world, you will be challenged. And this is a dogma of a challenge. V'chi soimru, when you will say, what will I eat in year number 7? I'll give you a frask. A child will say to Rebbe, what are we going to eat in year number 7? Oh, we're not allowed to plow. The Rebbe will take out his stick and smack the kid over the head. How dare you? How dare you have a question of emunah? You have to be a maimon in Hashem. How could you even ask such a question? What Targum says, Arei, when this will happen. It's not a matter of if it will happen. It's when it will happen. That's the way the world is. That's an incredible chiddush. That Rashi, in the Gemara Masechta Rosh Hashanah, appears to disagree with the Targum and holds that there are people that are very holy that don't ask questions. So we make over here Machlekes Rashi and Unkelus, but the problem is it's not Rashi here in the Gemara. In the Chumash, there's Rashi in the Gemara, and then he writes over here something that is utterly shocking. This is something which you can never say this today. This is something which is so foreign from us. There's a Rashi. He didn't just write a parish on the Gemara, a parish on Chumash and other. Rashi had letters. There are a collection of letters, rabbinic. Responsa literature. Is that what Rakefet says? Responsa literature. You know, Meir, I've been listening to Rakefet lately. I've been in the car lately, so I've been listening to him. You know,
did you
want to
talk? Did you hear about his granddaughter, grandson, and his kala?
No. No, what did he say about his grandson, his Kala?
He had the war that broke out Shalom Galil 14 years ago. It broke out just on their wedding. So at the last Sheva Brachas.
But what broke out? What broke out?
Huh?
What
the
happened?
War in Gaza.
The war in Gaza, it was 14 years ago, the disembarkment?
So at the last Sheva Brachas, they were both army. She came in with a uniform with three bars, and she wore something called a tichel over her hair.
Yeah.
Because she just got married. And he came without a uniform. He didn't need a uniform. And they left to the war from the chuppah.
Wow.
From the Sheva Brachas.
Wow. I'll tell you something, Mayor, yesterday she, you know, I don't listen, but yesterday I was driving in the car yesterday. I was driving to a wedding of Biana, the Mishpacha, an original Hasidim, original Eniklach, Bian, and he's very close to the end, and he starts talking there at length about Bian. Listen to the last share about Lag BaOmer. He starts talking about Biyan, and he starts asking questions. Does the Biyan Rebbe today, does he sit in the room when he davens? The answer is yes, he does. Biyan, the Rebbe, sits like Imam Shah, completely separate.
Yeah.
This is all shy, that's not even Tumu Betzibur. It's not even Biyachidus. Whatever. And then he started, the shir was about Rav Meir Shapiro.
Yeah.
And the Lulu Yeshiva. And he starts talking about the Reish Shadov.
Really?
Yeah, at length. And he starts talking about, he asks questions, he does know this with the grandson, he's the grandson, not the great-grandson. He doesn't know, he has to find out. I could have told him all the information he was asking there. And
so send him in, I'll give you an
email. I'm not interested. He has a small point. And he starts talking about the Reish Shurov, and he says that the Reish Shurov, we said, because he's who spoke at the inauguration, the Chanukah Sabayis of Yeshiva Milublin. So he says there was the Chok of a Rebbe, the Ger Rebbe, and the Reish Rav. And he starts...
Yachal. They call it Yachal.
What's Yachal?
Yeshiva Kach Milublin.
So he starts, who's the Reish Rav? Oh, he starts talking and darshening. So if I was a rebbe, I would say it's mamish. Last time I listened, in a very long time, but the time I turn it on, I'm going to a wedding, a Biyana wedding, and he's darshing all about Biyan, and then he starts talking about the Reish Rav.
Okay.
What are the chances? Someone once taught this to me. I was walking with someone in the street and something very, very strange happened. Very, very. So he says to me, what are the chances that this would happen? So I said, a fraction of a percent. So he says to me, you're wrong. The chances are zero. Zero, zero, zero. And the fact that this happened, it's the Yad Hashem. So I say the same thing. What are the chances that I'm going to a Biyana wedding and I'm an enikel of the Reish Rav and half the shir is about Biyan and the other half is about the Reish Rav? What are the chances?
He didn't talk about a wedding.
It was a very good shir. He said things, gewaldige stuff, things I never knew before, all this gewaldige
stuff. Menashe Klein? What was he talking about?
No, Menashe Klein is the halacha shir. I do not listen to that shir. I'm sorry. If I have time to listen, I will go back and listen to an old history shir, not the halacha shir.
Okay.
So he has two, you have to differentiate. He has the halacha shir and he has the history shir. He said himself that he gets much, much more traffic on the history than he gets on the halacha shir. They're very good, don't get me wrong. I listen to hundreds of them, of the halacha shir. It was limited time, so yeah, I like to hear the history shir. The history shir is very, very interesting. The Chachmei Lublin. So what was I getting telling you over here about this? How do I get into this? I don't even know how I got into this. But going back, Rashi, right, that's a rabbinic in response to literature, right? How does he refer to teshuvas?
Right, he had letters.
And what does he call that in English? His fancy term, response to
literature.
Response to literature. Shoot. Sheelois u teshuvas. She'eloisu teshuvas. So Rashi also had shut. She'eloisu teshuvas. And Rashi in the letter he writes that when it says l'chumash devarim, when the Targum Onkelos writes the word dilma, this, he never wrote it. He never wrote that. Some student illegally tampered with the Onkelos's manuscript and inserted the word dilma. Onkelos never ever wrote the word dilma on that pasuk. And this that we have it today in Onkelos, the word dilma, it's a fake. It's a forge, a forgery. That's what he writes over. Would you believe such a thing, to say such a thing? We're building over here a whole chiddush. He said there's a machleis between Rashi and Onkelos as to what it means v'chi soimu bashana, v'chi soimu manoichal bashana hashiris. And Onkelos usually used the word, says the word v'chi, says the word dilma. So he knew that word. And Rashi beferush in the Gemara says v'chi soimu means maybe, maybe yeah, maybe not. Doesn't have to happen that someone will ask this question. And we wanted to say that the fact that Onkelos here did not use the word dilma is an indication Onkelos holds that it's not a dilma, it's a vadai. How do you know that? Because the Onkelos himself uses the word dilma elsewhere when he wants. So if he does himself show that he likes the word dilma, why then did he not be consistent and use the word dilma over here? And he writes over here, guess what? You can't even say that chiddush because Rashi wrote in a tshuva that there's no word dilma in Targum. There's no such word. It's not an Aramaic word that was part of the vocabulary of Onkelos. And this, if you find the word Dilma in Chumash Devarim, in one place, this is a forgery. It was added by a student. You ever hear such chidushim like this? That's what it says over here. It says such an incredible thing over here. I'll read it over here. I'll read the whole thing over here. It says over here, L'das Rashi Perush, Kibbalosh, Nakos of Kan, Shaperush of Dilma, maybe. Rashi in the Gemara says it means maybe. The Yitochen, it would appear, Shazu Gam Das Onkelos. Ah, Onkelos hold, then why the Mashle Tirgim Kain Hu? B'nei Shekvar Kosev Rashi. I don't know what that means exactly. Shekmosh Amil Ki B'losh Na'kodesh Mishun Arba L'shoynes V'gulu V'gulu U'mash Anem So B'targum Devarim Hamila. In Perek Zayin Pasuk Yid Zayin. It says Hamila Ki B'targum Dilma Kosev Rashi. Rashi writes B'teshuva in his response to literature number 251, Reish Nun Aleph, all the letters are ordered. Shanira, Rashi says, Shehat Talmidim, Sheshamoi, Meirabam, Perish HaMikra, Hichnisu HaMila Dilma B'Targum. Wow, you can't trust anything. You can't trust anything. Someone has been tampering with Targum's Nusach. That's quite a statement to swallow. Okay, next. V'loy nichnosh. Okay, and it says, hey, loy osaf. Kosav Ramban. V'das Onkelos. Koloshen asifa. B'nikro hu l'shoyn kibbutz. Okay, together. Kibshudim l'shoyn v'yi osfu es aslov. She'oisvim ha'mefuzor l'mokam mechur. V'dud loy karashi. Shaper shiyosh l'shoyn asifa gam mashmo shel hachnosa. Okay, so we want to say this machloikis. You want to say over here, there's a machlokes over the word asif over here, so we write here as vlog nichnoish. Nichnoish means what? What does nichnoish means? I think the word lashon kibbutz means to gather. Okay, so it seems that there's this a machlokes in Rashi and Onkelos. As when it says in the pasuk that we're not going to v'loy ne'esoif estevoseinu. According to Rashi, Rashi says, oh, now Yitaka could appreciate. This is a very good example. Another good example in our Sefer to show, to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, that Rashi did not write a Sefer on Chumash, he wrote a Sefer on Onkelos. There's very little Rashi on this pasuk. Why did Rashi say this? V'loy ne'esoif. What is Rashi? Rashi has two words on this Dibur HaMaskil. El Habayis. You did not ingather into the home. Why did Rashi say this? Has nothing else to say? Answer, look at what it says in the Targum. The Targum on this pasuk says, V'lo nichnosh. The word nichnosh does not mean to take inside. It means to collect together and leave it outside. Nichnosh means, like you, the process of harvesting the grain, you first cut the grain, and then you pile it up in the fields. You don't take it indoors because you want it to sit and dry in the hot sun over the summer. So nichnosh means we're going to gather the grain and let it sit out in the field and dry. Rashi's in essence saying, Targum, you got it wrong again. That's not what it means, ne'esof. Ne'esof means to take what is outside and to bring it indoors. Rashi could have said a million things. Rashi selected to say this because it's a clear attack on Ungulus. Ungulus said the word nichnosh. Rashi right away understood that what he's trying to say, and he's saying, in essence, you're wrong. And that's my comment to you. My comment is, Stam, whenever Rashi says it makes a statement, it's usually coming to disagree with the Targum. And if you dig deep enough, you will see that there is a machlokes. They never taught us this in Yeshiva Ketana. They always would teach us that, you know, Uncle is Aramaic, and he just translates the words, and Rashi says, wrote a sefer on the Parsha, and he says all these nice things. There's nothing to do with Uncle's. That's so not true. Everything which Rashi said is targeting, is 90% coming to target what it says in the Targum. Okay, now the next thing over here is, well, that's it. All we got. Okay, we have this chiddush over here. Now, by the way, you see this pasuk? When I read this pasuk, I think about an incident that I had. I once took a test on this parasha. And the question was, v'chi soimru, the question was, which year of the 7-year cycle will you ask this question? So, Meir, what would you say? Look at that. We learned over here two psukim today. V'nosna ha'aretz, period. It will produce fruit. V'achaltem lo soiva, v'shavtem lo vetach olecha, you'll live in security. What are you getting in the year 7? Now, so the question on the test was, which year of the 7-year cycle will a person ask this question? And the answer, that was the correct answer according to the one who made up this exam. I wrote on the exam in the first year.
Yeah, because that's after the 7th year.
No, it's part of when you present it with the entire cycle, they show you these laws.
He wanted the pasuk. The pasuk says beferish.
What is it beferish?
That this is. It says that you ask the question.
When will you ask the question?
Then you say, no, it says you ask the question, and then you'll say, I didn't plant anything this year.
Okay. So look at Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Pasuk Chaf Aleph says, V'tzivi yisiyas b'ruchasi lechem b'ashana hashishis, I will command my blessing in the 6th year, v'osos es hatvua l'shloish ha'ashana for 3 years. So when you read the Pasuk very simply, you get an impression, because since the next Pasuk says that you will plant in the year 6, I will command my blessing in the year 6, it sounds like you're going to ask this question in year number 6. So I wrote that on my test in the first year. I don't know why I did that. Year one. So, and I got, they gave me, they marked me wrong. So I went to the teacher and I said, why am I wrong? Why am I wrong? Where does it say who's, how do you know? How do you know? You're going to ask the question the sixth year. You're worried. When you teach you all the rules, these are the rules. 6 years, you're going to plant. 7 years, you're not going to plant. The chi soimru. How do you know? Show me a source. What kind of crazy question is this? Show me a pasuk, a chazal, that says you're going to ask the question specifically in the year number 6. And I remember the look on his face. I remember the look on his face. He had nothing to say. He was like, you're right. But like basically like, I don't know. What were we thinking when we asked the question? We can't prove it. We can't prove that it was in the 6th year. Maybe you'll ask the question in the 1st year. Who says? Okay, there could be a lot of depth in this question of when exactly is the person going to ask this question. Now this can tie back So we said before. We try to make a machlokes with Rashi and Unkelis is what does it mean l'chi soimu? Does l'chi mean when you make this statement, which means it's certainly going to happen, you're going to ask this question. Or does it mean v'chi if you will ask this question? So would there be a difference between those two interpretations if we're dealing with year number one? If Moshe Rabbeinu over here is teaching Klal Yisrael the rules, and they have not yet even, he's telling you the rules. So if it's going to be, if you start a new cycle, you know, if you start a new cycle, so you would think, wouldn't it be wise to do the following? You know, put away every year a little bit. Put away a little bit every single year. So you'll have what to eat for in the year number 7. Why should you spend it all, year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, store up in advance like Yosef HaTzadik, he stored up in advance for the years of famine. He right away taxed them. He put away in storage house. Why can't a person do that and put away for safekeeping? I once remember reading a cartoon where a person goes over to someone and says to him, what are you wasting your money on cigarettes and on beer and on narishkeit? Do you realize if you would take the money that you spent on cigarettes and on beer and on and other alcoholic like things that are really dangerous and not good for you, and you would put it away in a fund to pay for your child's college tuition, or you would put it away for something else, do you know that in 10 years you would have, you know how much money you would have? The fund would grow. You put it away in some, I don't know, today, I don't know, the whole economy is not so great today. You put away this money. You know how, think about it, what are you wasting your money on? Smoking and alcohol and narishkeit. Put that money away. You'll have incredible, you'll have a limousine, you'll have a mansion. So the person takes a puff of smoke from a cigarette, and he says to the other guy, tell me, you don't smoke, you don't drink alcohol, you don't go to the movies, you don't do all these things. Where is your mansion? Where is your mansion? Okay, so that is very relevant to this. You have a 7-year cycle. You know from year one, you can have nothing in year number 7. What's the question? The Torah gave...
Where will we get the food?
The Torah gave the world to al haneg bohem minog derech eretz. If you don't plant, you're not going to have. So every day you put away a little bit. You put away year one, year two. Behave like a mensch. Put away every year. So why should it ever occur to a person? Very simple. The Torah was given to human beings. If you're not going to plant, you're not going to have what to eat. So every year, put away a little safekeeping for year number 7. The question should not even occur. Teretz is, like the story, excuse me, you don't smoke, you don't drink, so you have all this extra money, so where's your mansion? How come you didn't put away money? What happened to you? The answer is, that's not the way the world works. That's not the way the world works. To have a savings account, most Americans live from paycheck to paycheck. Okay, most people in this country are poor. Most people, it's a tremendous bracha to have these things, to be ezeh chacham haroye es hanoylan. But the average person, that's not the way the world works. All right, let's stop over here. Thank you very much for coming, listening to me, Gregor. All my nonsense. Have a wonderful evening. With Hashem, see you tomorrow.
It's not nonsense. Why do you put yourself down?
Okay, I take it back. Huh? I take it back. It's not nonsense. It's Torah.
You never know who might be listening. Your caller might be listening.
I think she already listened and said, This guy is not for me. I had a maestro with that. I had a maestro, someone recommended a certain girl. So I typed her name in. I found her to give her shear. I listened to the shear and I said, no way. No way. She started screaming during the shear. started screaming. I said, no, no, no. I'm not going to go be a victim of domestic
abuse. You know why I lit a yahrzeit candle tonight?
Why?
Guess who's coming tomorrow?
Ashrecha.
My freedom is over.
Okay. Enjoy. You going to the airport? Going to the airport?
No.
No?
No.
You're going to roll out a red carpet in front of your house?
Maybe I'll squash some tomatoes. That's a good idea. A red carpet of tomatoes.
Ay,
ay. All right. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Okay. Thank you for coming. Have a good night. Zayvizan. Thank you.